गणंजना शलाकया
चक्षुर मिलितम येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. So today is also another very important day in the Vaishnava calendar. It is the day of the appearance of Viswarupa, Lord Chaitanya's brother, which we'll speak about. And it is also the time when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. And we're going to read from the Prabhupada Lilamrita about that. A very wonderful story. So let's talk about Viswarupa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead first. Of course, Viswarupa, his position is that he is an expansion of Balaram and also expansion of Nityananda, because Nityananda, Balaram, Hoilo, Nitai, as described by Narottama Das Thakur, Balaram appears as Nityananda in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So, of course, we know the name of Lord Chaitanya's mother and father, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. And they were very sad because they were having children, actually daughters, that died one after the other. There were 8 daughters that they had, and each one died shortly after birth. So they were very upset. And finally, they had a son, Viswarupa. As I said before, he is considered Balaram, or an expansion of Balaram. So they had this son. They were very much overjoyed. And this Viswarupa, he was a great scholar practically from the time he was 3 or 4 years old. There's an interesting story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Of how Jagannath Mishra took Viswarupa to an assembly of brahmanas. And the brahmanas asked the little boy, what do you know? What have you studied? And Viswarupa replied, that I've studied a little bit of everything. And his father got very upset with him afterwards. He gave him a little slap. And he said, how can you act so proud in front of the brahmanas? So then Viswarupa, in order to show his father that actually he did know a lot about everything, not just a little bit about everything, Hare Krishna, Hare Mani, he went back to these brahmanas by himself and said, what would you like to know? And the brahmana said, just recite a little bit of linguistics for us, that is, conjugations of verbs and things like that. And Viswarupa recited a little bit, and they said, oh, very nice, little boy. And can you explain those things? So he was able to explain. And they said, oh, you're very intelligent. And then he said, well, I'm going to show you how my explanations were wrong. And then he turned the explanations around and showed other explanations for the verbal roots. And the brahmanas were amazed. Wow, what a great personality he is. You know, he was just 3 or 4 years old, and he was able to explain grammar in such a profound, deep way that even the brahmanas were amazed to hear that. So even from his very birth, he was actually executing devotional service. Then when Dvaitacharya would come to Shantipur, Viswarupa would regularly attend the Dvaitacharya's classes. And Viswarupa was very much attracted to Dvaitacharya's description of a particular scripture called the Yoga Vasishta. And Dvaitacharya described it in a devotional way, although generally people describe it... Let me put this closer. Generally people describe it in a non-devotional way. So Viswarupa and Dvaitacharya, they grew very, very close. And there's some description in the Chaitanya Bhagavat how after Lord Chaitanya appeared, he was born, that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes go to a Dvaitacharya's house to bring his brother back for prasad. And when the residents of a Dvaitacharya's house and a Dvaitacharya saw Nimai Pandit, that's Lord Chaitanya's name when he was a little boy, they just became amazed with his bodily beauty, because it's described that he had lotus eyes. There's different symptoms of great personalities. One is the lotus eyes. In other words, the eyes just basically almost go to the ears. Very beautiful. None of you have lotus eyes. I'm looking at Sundar Gopal. He's a nice devotee, but he doesn't have lotus eyes. So lotus eyes, and the hands reach to the knees when one's standing up. And there's different proportions in the bodies, but Vishwarupa had perfect proportions, and of course Nimai Pandit, that is Nimai, little Nimai, he had perfect proportions too. So after some time, Vishwarupa became more and more immersed in devotional service. Then one day he was sitting in his room in the house of his parents, and he overheard his parents talking about something that made him full of anxiety, gave him a lot of anxiety. And his parents were talking about his marriage, because generally in the Vedic culture, the parents arrange marriages. I mean, sometimes they arrange marriage. Like we're talking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's first marriage was when he was 12 and the girl was 5. Pretty interesting. Not that they lived together. You know, nowadays people criticize these child marriages, but they would wait until both were mature. In this way, they both would not be searching on the internet for different mates. They would be thinking, you know, the mind would be fixed, completely fixed. And the people wouldn't fall in love with different Bollywood stars either, right? Sometimes that happens with the ladies or the men. So it was a bona fide system, although nowadays it's not really recommended. So they were talking about Visvarupa's marriage, and Visvarupa overheard it. He was listening in the next room, and he thought, this is not going to work for me. I want to just be engaged full-time in Krishna consciousness. And so that night, he left. And his parents woke up the next morning, and they were just so upset. And they were crying. Eventually he took sannyas, and his name was Shankaranya Swami. And Lord Chaitanya found out later on that Shankaranya Swami was Visvarupa, had left this world and entered into Lord Nityananda, because he's an expansion of Lord Nityananda. But when Visvarupa took sannyas, Nimai consoled his parents. He said, don't worry, I will never leave you. I will always stay with you. And then Nimai revealed a dream to his parents shortly after Visvarupa took sannyas. And in that dream, he dreamt of Visvarupa as Shankaranya Swami, who was beckoning him, Nimai, come and join me as a sannyasi. Imagine a dream like that. Of course, this is similar to the dream that Prabhupada had, where he saw Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur beckoning him. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. He said, come and join me as a sannyasi. And Nimai said, no, I have to take care of my parents. And then Visvarupa, in that dream, said to Nimai, please give my obeisances, respects to my dear parents. And Nimai told this dream to Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, and they became very happy that Nimai wasn't going to take sannyas. But still, Nimai, the parents were very worried about Nimai. Maybe he'll get educated like Visvarupa, because they were thinking that when one becomes educated, then one will find out about the miseries of this material world and then want to renounce the world, right? Similar story to the story of Buddha. I think you've heard about that story? Buddha's parents, they actually protected him from coming in contact with birth, death, disease, and old age. Thinking, because the astrologer that predicted his future at his birth said that one day he would actually renounce everything and be a great religious person. So they didn't want that. So therefore, they didn't really educate him into the realities of life. And eventually, of course, that Buddha went out and he saw in his kingdom dead people, dead bodies. He saw sick people. He saw old people. And he kept asking his chariot driver, who is that? What is that? He said, it's an old person. And the chariot driver explained it. And then he said, does everybody become like that? And the chariot driver said, yes. It was a shock. So anyway, in the same way, Nimai's parents were thinking of protecting Nimai from the realities of life, at least from the scriptures, which recommend spiritual life. And so they took him out of school. And when they took him out of school, he started to play many, many tricks with his friends. They would destroy banana fields. And eventually, there's that story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Nimai sat on the rejected pots In other words, they at that time they would cook with clay pots and they wouldn't reuse them. They would just use them once or twice. And then they were considered unclean because clay actually absorbs some of the moisture from the things that you're cooking. It's not like steel. So Nimai would sit on these rejected pots and his mother was very upset. And she said, come down. And he said, why? And she said, they're contaminated. And he said, how will I understand what is contaminated and what is pure unless you send me to school? And he said, plus, I'm the Supreme Lord. For me, everything's the same. So his mother thought, we better send him to school. Anyway, and the other residents of Navadvip who were watching this whole pastime said to his mother and father, look, most of our kids don't want to go to school. And he wants to go to school, so you should send him back to school. So they sent him back to school. So anyway, so Sachi Mata was very upset with Advaita Acharya for what she considered to be encouraging Visvarupa to take sannyas. She thought, it's Advaita's fault. And she would get very angry at Advaita Acharya. In fact, one time it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, and also Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions this story. She said, this Advaita is Dvaita. That means, Advaita means he's one with the Lord. He is, of course, Vishnu expansion, Mahavishnu, and also Sadashiva. And she said, he's Dvaita. Dvaita means, in that particular context, two-faced. You understand? In other words, you say something to someone and you say something different to someone else. You're a liar. So she was accusing him of just being a liar, not having Brahminical principles. She was very angry with him. So then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that she had committed a great offense against Advaita Acharya. They were in Srivas Thakur's house and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving out love of God to everyone. He was saying, this person will have love of God, that person will have love of God. But he left out his mother. And everyone said, you know, what about Sachi Mata? You know, she's your mother. She doesn't get love of God. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, because she's offended Advaita Acharya. And so, of course, Advaita Acharya, he worships Sachi Mata. We understand the story that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Advaita Acharya would circumambulate Sachi Mata and actually smear sandalwood pulp on her womb and the stomach. You understand? So he actually worshipped. So Advaita Acharya, when he heard that, he got very upset. And of course, Sachi Mata, she dove down and touched the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. And because she touched his lotus feet, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now she can have love of God. It's an interesting story, isn't it? So what that story teaches us, that even if you happen to have an exalted position, like Advaita Acharya's, like Mother Sachi, you have to be very careful in dealing with Vaishnavas. And even there's one description that if you have disciples who make offenses, the guru is held responsible for that. It's heavy, isn't it? The guru is held responsible. So one has to be very careful. The guru has to be very strong in his Krishna consciousness or else the disciple will drag him to hell. Dangerous, isn't it? And just like we told that story previously of how if you're temple president, you can become a dog in your next life. Remember that story? So that's why we have no temple presidents here in ISKCON Suva, because nobody wants to be a dog. Interesting. Because Lotuk is a different thing. You know that story from the Ramayana? Oh, we can tell that story very quickly. Once upon a time, there was a dog who complained to Lord Ramchandra, there's a Brahmin who's beating me. And so Lord Ramchandra called the Brahmin, and he said, did you beat this dog? And he said, yes, I was hungry. And that, not a good excuse. And then the Brahmin said, please forgive me. And Lord Ramchandra said to the other Brahmins, his advisors, how should we punish this Brahmin? And they were thinking, well, maybe we should beat him, maybe we should do this. And the Dalai said, no, 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 you should make him temple president. Head of the, you know, head of the acharya, whatever it was, you know, head of the mandali. And so, and everybody was amazed, you know, why should we make this dog, why should we award the dog, award the Brahmin for being violent towards the dog. And everybody was just like bewildered. Lord Ramchandra said, you should ask the dog why he decided that. So they asked the dog, and the dog said, previously I was temple president. And because of the sinful reactions of everybody in the temple, I became a dog. So, anyway, nobody should quit because of hearing that. Obviously, we are responsible for people who work under us. And if we don't make an endeavor to correct the situation, we're responsible for an ignorant situation. Prabhupada said that. That if you see some ignorance, something, like if you see dirt or something at the temple, and you don't make some endeavor, or you see some rascal there doing abominable activities, if you don't make some endeavor, then you're responsible. But if you can't, if you're not aware of it, you're not responsible. And if you're not able to do anything about it, you're not responsible. Everybody understands that point? But if you let it go on, like if the devotees are smoking ganja in the ashram, then you're responsible. So it's a heavy position. Prabhupada also said, in regard to the GBC, which is even heavier, he said, just like Yamaraj was one of Krishna's GBC people, and he made a mistake with that Mandavya Muni, and Mandavya Muni cursed him to become a Shudra. He said, similarly, if the GBC, if our GBC make a mistake, they'll have to become Shudras in the next life. I mean, serious mistake. Not that they drive in a car and go to the wrong direction or something like that. Has to be something really serious. You know, something against Dharma. So then, so it's very dangerous to have a position. One thinks that people who have a position are enjoying, but they're not enjoying, they're taking responsibility. Isn't it? We have this idea, you know, sometimes people criticize people who have taken the position of guru in our movement, and they think, oh, he's just enjoying eating so nicely, they cook for him whatever he wants, they bathe his feet twice a day, or three times, or 10 times a day. And but they don't understand that it's actually a lot of anxiety and there's great responsibility. And when you have great responsibility, there's a heavier punishment if you don't fulfill that responsibility. Like in the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, it describes punishment specifically for those who are brahmanas who break the regulative principles. They get heavier punishments than just ordinary people. So remember that. Higher position you get, more responsibility. The point of the story is that Sachi Mata, even though she was the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had to be careful about offending Vaishnavas. Interesting, isn't it? Good lesson for us. Okay, so that's... Oh yeah, of course, then later on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India ostensibly to find out what happened to his brother, and he found out his brother left this world. And that's all the information we have about... Vishwaroop. Now we'll read a little bit from the Prabhupada Leelamrita. This is one of my favorite stories in the Prabhupada Leelamrita about Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas. Because many times, even when Prabhupada was a householder, he would have this dream. And in this dream, his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would be beckoning him, come with me, take sannyas. And Prabhupada, this is a very nice tape of Prabhupada talking about this. He said he was horrified. Because remember, Prabhupada was very responsible. It's not that Prabhupada was materially attached, believe me. Especially with a wife who was selling his Bhagavatams for tea biscuits. And, you know, she would say, when Prabhupada said, tea or me, she said, I'd rather have tea than you. You know, Prabhupada definitely was not attached. In fact, at one point, he was so upset with his wife that he wanted another wife. This is when his father was still on the planet.
Now, that doesn't mean divorce. In that time, you know, people having two wives was a common thing in India. So he went to his father and said, "Dad, I'd like to marry another wife, you know, someone who's much more compatible." And his father said, "No, no, you have a very nice wife, because your wife is making you renounce from this world. Not that you women should do that to your husbands. That's not your duty, to make your husbands renounced." Anyway, but sometimes things happen. Just like Maharaj Anga had a son named Vena. And Vena actually encouraged Maharaj Anga to take sannyas. Maharaj Anga said, "This is a horrible son." But then he thought for a few minutes, "What a nice son. Now, Hare Krishna, go on Sankirtan." So anyway, enough of that. So Prabhupada would continually have this dream. And even after he left his family, he had this dream, and we're going to read about this. It says, one night, Avaya, that was Prabhupada's name, of course, had a striking dream, the same dream he had several times before during his days as a householder. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared just as Avaya had known him, the tall, scholarly sannyasi coming directly from the spiritual world, from Krishna's personal entourage. He called to Avaya and indicated that he should follow. Repeatedly, he called and motioned. He was asking Avaya to take sannyas. "Come," he urged, "become a sannyasi." Repeatedly, you know, just come, come, come. Avaya awoke in a state of wonder. He thought of this instruction as another feature of the original instruction Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had given him at his first meeting in Calcutta. The same instruction that his spiritual master had later solidified in a letter: become an English preacher and preach Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. Sannyas was for that end. Otherwise, why would his spiritual master have asked him to accept it? By reason that his spiritual master was saying, "Now take sannyas and you will be able to accomplish this mission." Formally, the time was not right. Of course, the first instruction Prabhupada got when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Ultadanga, Calcutta, on the roof of the Gaudiya Mission there. And first thing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Srila Prabhupada and Naren, his friend, was, "You are educated boys, you should preach in English." You understand, there's this first instruction. You should preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message around the world. So Prabhupada was amazed because that was the first time he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was getting that instruction. So Avaya deliberated cautiously. By accepting a sannyas, a Vaishnava dedicates his body, mind, and words totally to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, renouncing all other engagements. He was doing that already. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had offered sannyas to his leading disciples so that they could continue his mission. They hadn't done it. And actually, there's an interesting story. If you look at the history, devotees that were sent to the Western world, that's Tirtha Maharaj and others, they went to Europe to preach Krishna consciousness. And somehow or other, when they came back, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was displeased with them. It's interesting. They came back and they had an arrangement for one of the Maharajas there, that means not Maharaj Sannyasi, but one of the kings, to give enough money to build a temple in London. They had a pledge of a donation. But then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said to that Maharaj, the king, "Don't give my disciples the money." Interesting, isn't it? And he was so disturbed with those disciples. For some reason or other, he never talked to those disciples the rest of his manifest pastimes. Can you imagine that? They'd gone to Europe, come back, and then he refused to talk to them. So something was going on. We don't know. I'm not going to speculate about it. But Anyway, so they hadn't done it. They hadn't carried out the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada was thinking, how could he, a mere householder, presume that he could succeed where others had failed? He was hesitant. This helpless, incapable feeling he had expressed in his viraha ashtaka. But now is, that means the prayer, the eight prayers in separation to the spiritual master. But now his spiritual master was beckoning him over all other considerations, even over natural humility. Now, although he was elderly and alone, the desire to preach, just as his spiritual master had preached, remained within him. A fierce, though sometimes quietly expressed determination. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had taken sannyas to facilitate his missionary work. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas to facilitate his movement. Because a sannyasi is automatically respected, Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas was a tactic, a calculated tactic. As soon as he began traveling throughout India as a sannyasi, he immediately attracted thousands of followers to the Sankirtan movement. I'm going to skip some of this here. Because Prabhupada actually knew that many cheaters would take sannyas in Kali Yuga. In fact, in the age of Kali, it's actually prohibited, according to the Puranas, to take sannyas. But Prabhupada explained that sannyas is only for preaching Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada had experience when he was young that one of his neighbors would go out and dress as a sannyasi during the day and collect money, and then at night he'd give it back to his wife. So that's Kali Yuga. The people are dressed in a certain way and they're cheating. So Prabhupada thought if a person could actually follow the rules and regulations, then he could spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada tried to approach some of his god brothers for permission. First he went to Tirtha Maharaj, who was formerly Kunja Vihari, who was the leader of the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta. Remember at that time the Gaudiya Math had split up into different Maths. The main Math was the Calcutta Math, who was the Chaitanya Math, and then also the Math in Sridhar Mayapur. And they were fighting with each other in court. And that court battle never ended, even to the day that these devotees left their bodies. You understand? The court battle was never finished. So, Abhai thought of the Chaitanya Math as the headquarters of his spiritual master's mission. So, since 1948, it had been under the legal ownership of Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Now, each sannyasi had his own math. That's because they didn't follow Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, which was to form a GBC and work cooperatively under the GBC. They disobeyed that instruction, and Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, they became asara, which means useless, because they didn't follow that primary order. And just like we see, sometimes devotees will leave ISKCON, and apparently, they seem to be doing all right, but actually, they're asar because they're disobeying Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Srila Prabhupada's instruction was to work cooperatively in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, stay within the society no matter what. And someone told me a very nice quote from Srila Tamal Krishnamars the other day. He said, I will stay in ISKCON even if I die. Even if it kills me. He was saying that his determination to remain within Prabhupada's society was so strong no matter what. And I saw that in the final years when we were sitting in the GBC. Sometimes the GBC would disagree with Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And it was actually interesting because when we took our votes, we asked him to turn his back to the rest of the GBC. Because he would be looking at us to see who's voting this way and who's voting that way. I don't know if any of you heard this story before, but it was just like he would look at you and you'd feel scared and you couldn't really vote the way you wanted to vote. Have any of you experienced the way, he'd look at you like that? So therefore I remember the chair of the GBC saying, you know, can you please turn the other direction? But his loyalty was so great that even, you know, sometimes he was in disagreement with some of the decisions, but once we reached the decision, he would stick to the decision. That's team spirit. That you work together, and even if you disagree with what's going on, because you jointly decided something, you stick with it. And that's what keeps our movement together. And the preachers of the Gaudiya Math weren't ready to do that. Therefore, Prabhupada said, they became Asara, and the movement, their math broke up into many different pieces. I mean, you find Gaudiya Maths all over the place in India, and they're basically not working with each other. And in many cases, they've tried to attack ISKCON. You know, because ISKCON is doing all this dynamic preaching, making all the devotees, and basically they're not making the devotees, so they thought, well, the only way we can make devotees is to steal from ISKCON, and the only way we can steal from ISKCON is tell people that we have something better. And people are so foolish they think like that. That there is something better than what Prabhupada presented. Presenting things sometimes very cheaply. Okay, anyway, enough of that. So, Prabhupada approached the Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj in the Chaitanya Math, and he wanted the support of the Chaitanya Math. So Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj replied to Prabhupada that he should first join the Math. And he said, those who are acting against our Math are motivated by their individual ambitions. This is interesting. I mean, you accuse everybody else of being motivated by ambitions, but you don't think you are. Anyway, so he went on about this, about the motivation, the ill motivation. And he said that a bhai could also become a sannyasi in time. He said, come reside in the Chaitanya Math. The houses we have are very nice and airy and well lit. We will treat you exclusively. There won't be any difficulty. But as far as for printing books, he said, first we have a whole line of different books we want to print, the rare books of the Acharyas, and any books written by you will be checked by the editorial staff, and if funds can be raised, then maybe we'll print them, if we have time to do that. And we'll only print books that are favorable. Abai was not encouraged by this. He said, I was working on my broken typewriter. I went to Tirtha Maharaj and said, give me a room and print my books. Give me some money. I will join you. I have thought this is Guru Maharaj's institution. He did not say no, but printing the books was a difficult task for him. He had no money. Printing the books is a big job, and there is no guarantee of sale. So Prabhupada understood that without printing books, distribution of knowledge, sannyas had no meaning for him. And in fact, going to the West, there was no purpose to it unless he had books. He said, there's no point in going to Calcutta to reside in a very nice place with well-lit rooms. Anyway, he wrote Tirtha Maharaj back, and he asked Tirtha Maharaj to consider, and Tirtha Maharaj didn't accept. And he actually discouraged him. He said, actually, if you want to go to America and preach, it's not a very good idea because everybody is just watching television now. And so that you won't be able to be heard. He said, there's no conferences or meetings in the West as before. Communication is done through the media of television. And that's actually not true. There's many conferences going on, even though there's television and internet right now. And we're using the internet and the television to preach Krishna consciousness. Abai then next turned to Keshava Maharaj in Mathura. And Keshava Maharaj told Abai to take sannyas immediately. So now Abai was completely convinced it was time to take sannyas. Srila Prabhupada said, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan writing, my godbrother insisted to me, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher. So practically my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So Prabhupada said, so unwillingly I accepted it. So this Keshava Gaudiya Math which was where Prabhupada took sannyas, is located in the middle of Mathura's downtown bazaar. There's some description here. It was like a monastery. Srila Prabhupada was very familiar with this place. He had written and studied in the library here and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya to the temple, which stood besides the deities of Radha and Krishna. But in this visit, during this visit in September of 1959, he entered the mosque dressed in white, but he knew that he would be leaving dressed in saffron as a sannyasi. Actually, Srila Prabhupada had been a renunciate for 9 years already. In other words, even though he wasn't dressed as a sannyasi, he really didn't have any connection with family members. And there was no need for him to do this. But it was the parampara system that a man takes Trindandi sannyas at the end of life. And he knew about all the bogus sannyasis, the swamis of Vrindavan who indulged illicitly in sex life, and the caste goswamis who lived like ordinary householders, running temples as a business to support their families, and accepting the honor and donations from the public on the false basis of birth. But he knew that sannyas was made for preaching. So on the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the 50 by 25 foot room on the second floor of the mosque, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing. There's some description here. We'll skip this description right now. And Srila Prabhupada sat on a mat of kusha grass beside 90-year-old Sanatan, who was also to receive sannyas that day. Sitting opposite the two candidates, Narayan Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offering of grains and ghee into the fire, Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother known for sweet singing, played murdanga and sang Vaishnava bhajans. Sitting on a raised asana, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the mosque's few residents attended. So one thing about Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, he was a very wonderful personality. We met him. And he would always be chanting. Babaji would always be chanting. He was basically the only Babaji disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he would always be chanting Hare Krishna. He'd never talk about anything else other than Krishna's pastimes and chanting. And any time you tried to talk to him about any problem in ISKCON, he'd laugh at you and start chanting Hare Krishna. You'd say, Maharaj, what should we do about this? And he'd go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So I wish I could do that. Doesn't work for me. So, then to everyone's surprise, while the ceremony was being conducted, Keshava Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. And then Prabhupada, in spite of knowing that everybody in the audience was just a Hindi speaker, Prabhupada spoke in English, which is very interesting. He knew he must speak in English. So then he received a sannyas danda, which is the four bamboo rods. That's the body, mind, words, and jiva soul, dedicated to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were given their sannyas garb, which is a top piece and a dhoti, and also two strips for underwear. And they received new tulsi neck beads and the sannyas mantra. Sannyas mantra is very nice. I'm not going to give it to all of you because we don't want any more sannyasis here. So, it's a very wonderful mantra. Anyway, so Keshava Maharaj gave Prabhupada the name Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And they posed for a photo. And if you see this photo, right after the sannyasa Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada looks like he's ready. He's the Singha Guru, ready to attack the whole world and preach Krishna consciousness. He looks so determined with a sannyas staff. I've never seen anyone so determined. So Keshava Maharaj told Prabhupada that you should simply go on preaching. So Prabhupada understood now that he had to really become even more dynamic in his preaching. And seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in Hindi, English, and Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, this is an article in the magazine of the newspaper of the Gaudiya Patrika, which is the account of his sannyas. Seeing his enthusiasm, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave him the instruction to take Tridandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year, he had been ready to accept sannyas in the month of Bhadra, on the day of which Visvarupa accepted sannyas. Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavaji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samhiti, Sri Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj, seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing his pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm. Okay, so that's the story of Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas. Of course, nowadays, actually, anybody can preach Krishna consciousness in any ashram. There's no need to take sannyas, although if one has the service of traveling all around the world, and especially preaching in India, it's helpful because people naturally do respect you being a sannyasi. So any questions or comments about these points? So class is almost over. Oh. They're posed with the conch shell to end class. Any quick questions or comments about anything we said about Prabhupada taking sannyas or Visvarupa's pastimes? No? Okay, so today's a very auspicious day. It's called Visvarupa Mahotsava. Utsava means festival. Mahotsava means a big festival or a great festival. Okay, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.